Blog Talk Radio.
If you swift and turn.
life has only just begun. We wed this land and pledged our souls to meet its end. Life has only just begun. Hear my people roam the earth in the kingdom of our birth, where the dust of all our horses hides the sun. We are mighty on the earth, on the earth.
how's it going? It's Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you? I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. And we're going to sit here and look at the situation of people in the chat room. Have a great time. Talk all you want. Ask questions. But we also ask you to ask questions in the chat room, a couple here and there. But if you want to get a really reading, you should call in. The number is 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. If you want to get a private reading, please call me at 740-500-8863. Or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And you'll see that we're having a May special where you get 5 30-minute sessions for only $100. And usually those sessions go for $30 for 30 minutes. So therefore, you can see it's a great deal getting in all 5 sessions for $100. And plus, you can actually use those sessions as much as you want, when you want. If you want to use all 5 of them all one same week, fine. If you don't, if you want to use one per month, that's fine too, or one per week. Whichever is good for you. That's why we sit here and sell the blocks of times. We also have another block of time going on too as well. That we were advertising last month, but we're carrying on this month, where you can get 3 90-minute sessions for only $100 too as well. And those sessions go for $1 a minute, so $90 per session. But for you, calling in and listening to what we just said, and the idea of the specials we do, which we actually have a tendency to give the specials to the people who call on our show, who are very supportive and listening, and that kind of thing. So therefore, if you want to check it out, check it out. That's 3 90-minute sessions for $100, and those things are great too as well. If you want to use them for relationship counseling, relationship reading, sessions, as in life coaching, meditations. I do chakra meditations, focusing on meditations, connecting meditations, working on your gifts, working on your actually establishing what your gifts are. How many abilities do you have? That kind of thing as well. And then we go from there. What is your expectations? What are your goals? What do you want to do with them? You know, for a fact, every guy, we're talking about manifestation, change your thoughts, change your thinking. That's a good place to start in the idea of changing the idea within yourself, the energy level, the flow, getting balance between your physical and your spiritual, which is the idea of spiritual, the chakras. And the physical part is the idea of, you know, that actually circuit training can actually stimulate the chakras as well. And it's actually one of those things that keeps your body in shape, gets the energy flowing, also gets the oxygen flowing, and your blood, which is actually considered, if you think about it, you take all the blood out of your life, what happens? Poof, you die. So it's like life. So the more you can get that blood flow, the more you can probably get your life flow. And so therefore, put the two together and working with chakras and your blood and your body and the balancing out the physical between the spiritual also has a tendency to set up a chain reaction of realizing that you have to have a balance between your giving and receiving. Why does the Bible say that giving is more important than receiving? Because without giving, there is no receiving. So therefore, what you put out, you get back. What you reap, what you sow, what you are, you attract. So keep that in mind too as well. If you're a person who's looking for some kind of way to meditate even more, check out www.brainthink.com. They have some great subliminal CDs and also subliminal downloads that you can actually download in 5 seconds from your computer and actually be using them just that quick. Also, the situation is great, fantastic, and awesome because it actually is one of those situations that subliminal CDs and meditations was something that was in the 70s, and now the technology has changed quite a bit. So give it a shot, give it a try, because I use them all. I don't recommend anything on this show that I have not used or not using myself. And BrainSync I've used. And also go to Amazon.com, and you'll see the MP3 downloads section 2 as well, where they have Anyway, you go there, it's binaural, I think there's subliminal beats that you can use too as well. They give the same effects and maybe a little more deeper on a deeper level. Also, there's a thing called HemiSync CDs too as well. So check those out, www.hemisync.com. Check out those too as well. They're the same thing. They have CDs for sale. You can actually, from what I hear, you can actually get, if you buy 4, actually, the fourth one's free. So if you buy 3, the fourth one's free. And they got some great ones, too. Both companies have these CDs and these MP3 downloads that you can actually use for all kinds of things. Anxiety, depression, focus on the idea of something you can listen to before you go to work or you're happy. They have a happy one. They have things on psychic abilities, tapping into your abilities. connected with your angels, your guardian angels, about anything you can think of. So give it a chance. Give it a shot. I've tried all these things, and they're really good. So check them out. Okay? So if you also want to sit there and take your phone and take it one step further and knock it down to, like, I don't know, $45 a month for everything, unlimited this, that, and the other, then try out Straight Talk. Go to www.straighttalk.com or go to your local Walmart, and I guarantee you the idea of your bill going from, like, mine was up for Sprint was like $150 a month, and now it's only $45, and I actually have the same phone. And they do have that technology, too, that you can actually more likely keep your phone, just switch the service, so your service is a whole lot cheaper. So give it a shot. That's www.straighttalk.com or go to your local Walmart. And let's get on with our show here. We're sitting here talking about the idea of change your thought, change your thinking. I think it's one of those situations you can't say enough. All right, so let's take a call, and then we'll go right into the whole thing. Area code 786, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good question.
Well, hello.
It's been one of those crazy days.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've had a crazy week, so, and I know how it feels. Sorry.
So what's your name?
Hi, my name is Geralda.
Your name is Geralda?
Mm-hmm.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Carolinas.
Which one? North or south, or do you live in both?
North Carolina, but towards south. But yeah, but it's in North Carolina, technically.
Okay, so how far you live from Raleigh?
Maybe like a couple hours away.
Okay, good. Raleigh sucks. Anyway. I'm just saying. Sometimes we look at the idea of the East Coast, and some of the things is kind of funny. If you want to be crazy, go crazy and hang out with crazy people. Go to Florida. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm from there, so I know.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things. And the Carolinas, you think that people would be more open-minded, but I've actually found out that some people have a tendency to hang on to, I want my life to change, but at the same time, they want to sit there and defend the life that they have, so they don't realize they can't do both. So what's your question for tonight?
Well, my question is, it's going to be about moving. My fiance and I are trying to move to Indiana and trying to transfer with our jobs. We are getting married this year, so we want to kind of move and start getting settled and getting our lives together closer to family. I was hoping if you saw that happening anytime soon, we've been applying, and I really want to stay with my company, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Okay, so why Indiana?
He's from there.
Okay. Sometimes I wish I could really sit down and talk about when we have this one little session where I tell people, you know, the best way to be successful is to get away from your hometown.
We're not going to the hometown. We'll go to, like, the major city, not the hometown.
I'm just saying. It's one of those situations. My family live in Ohio. I live in Colorado. You know why? Because it works. Okay? When you look at the situation, no, it's the ideals. We were talking about this before. And the ideal manifestation. Manifestation is the thoughts and desires, the wants and desires of yours. We have to sit there and re-examine those sometimes because we have been conditioned the way our upbringing is and that kind of stuff. We have to take a look at those situations and go, okay, am I really focusing on my wants and desires, or is it the wants, needs, and desires that I've been taught as I was growing up? And sometimes you look at the situations of difficulty. Realistically, if you take the situation and change everything out and change it to, because people think that one thing, I've heard this a lot, what do you want? What do you desire? What do you need? Okay, what you do is you take the same thing. I want and I desire and I need. Okay, when you sit to take those situations and you try to understand them, if they're hard to accomplish, then more likely the reason it's doing that way is because it's resonating from a thought or a perception that was given to you, that you've never really taken the time to actually think about what you really want to do. And, you know, I sit there and look at the situation about what you're talking about, and I really feel like what you can do is accomplish the whole thing, and I think it could happen very quickly. But I still feel like there's also some residual thoughts of somebody thinking about this situation. Is it a good idea or not? And who's that?
I'm not sure. He seems happy about moving there. We don't have anyone here. We're by ourselves, and we really want to move closer to family, or close enough to family, a couple hours
away.
I
understand it, sweetie, but yeah, one thing I like to teach everybody like this, okay? The one thing we have trouble with, the ideal relationships, is that everybody uses the situation of excuses that I don't have anybody here. You were there for a reason. And the idea if you don't have anybody there is because somewhere along the line, that's how you were taught, and the idea of how you connect with people in certain situations, that kind of stuff. For example, I've seen people do this. They have a great neighbor, and the whole situation, connecting with people, they don't consider them as friends because they have this agenda in the back of their head of what a friend is, okay? That was given to them by somebody else, and they don't even know it. They don't pay attention to their idea. They don't pay attention to their actions and their perceptions, that little voice inside of themselves that starts talking right off the bat. You know how people are, and they're going to think, I should have told someone this the other day, and it's the truth. Okay, me and a guy pull up to a freaking drive-thru, right? He asked the girl for her phone number, and she says, I don't give my phone number to strangers, which I replied to saying, I guess you're a lonely person, aren't you? And she goes, what do you mean by that? I said, because every person that you ever met in your life, even your parents to a point, were strangers until you got to know them. So it's the idea of looking at the situation of you and your fiance and how much you guys know each other, and the idea of the situation. I would, honestly, in this situation, I would sit down with my fiance and say, dude, I want you to tell me flat out some of your family experiences, and I'm talking about the ones you don't like, the ones that were uncomfortable and the things like that. Get some things going on here, okay? A lot of people are like salmon. Look at salmon. I got to go home and lay those eggs. They'll kill themselves to get there. And a lot of people, it might sound crazy, but a lot of people do the same thing. There's something about that homing pigeon that takes us home, but it also could work against you guys in the idea of career, family, and life and that kind of stuff. How are you?
Okay.
No, how old are you? You're okay? Okay.
27.
She's okay years. You're 25?
No, 27.
You're 27?
Yeah.
And how old is your fiance?
33, just turned 33.
Uh-huh. Now, with the situation that we're talking about, why does he want to go home?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. We want to go home because we do want to be closer to family, his family or my family, either or. And we just want to move there, and we don't really want to be here anymore.
Okay, maybe you should look at the situation that you don't want to be there anymore and look at the idea of the solution. And my curiosity keeps coming across, and the idea of my angel keeps asking, why do you have to be closer to family?
I guess we wanted to. Eventually, we want to have kids and have them closer to their grandparents, and we just want to be closer to family, I guess.
Okay, I'm just saying, take a deep thought on that whole situation. Why do you want to be close to family? Okay, where's your family?
Florida. I don't want to move there.
No, I understand that point of view, but the idea of the situation you were just describing, of not really being around people that you don't know. Have you met? You know, I take it you've met his parents, right?
No, I have never met him in person. We'll meet him when I move there.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at the situation.
We do, and another part of the reason we want to move there because we've had some issues with a crazy ex, and we just kind of want to move on and move away who was here in North Carolina. We just don't want the drama, and just want to have kids and have them close to his parents, and we like the area and the city where we're going to move, and we're looking forward to it and starting our lives mm-hmm. and buy a home.
Start your lives?
Yeah, well, settling down, like buying a home and having kids in a couple of years after getting married, and I don't know. That's what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think there's just having the support system there, too, would be great.
That's great, sweetie, but the support system actually has a tendency to be within yourself. Or if it's not within yourself, then it has a tendency to resonate around you in the same kind of lack of or the strong foundations you have. Everything reflects from within ourselves, reflects in our outer world. So when you look at the situation, the drama and the stuff that you're talking about, you could move. But it's also the idea of looking at the situation that caused it in the first place. For example, accidents are not accidents. Accidents are things that we don't listen to ourselves. We don't listen to our guides. We don't listen to our angels. That's why we sent her talk before about the idea of why it's so important to actually know if you have abilities, which everybody does, what they are, how to use them, and how to utilize them in situations like this to see things for what they are. To look past the illusion, because that's what drama is. And people don't realize one thing, too. Drama, you have good drama, you have bad drama. So you have to look at the situation, what caused the bad drama. And people have a hard time with this one when you sit there going, something with your intentions of what you put out there created the situation. For some reason, I look at the situation and going, you can do exactly what you want, you can accomplish this as fast as you want, but it's also the idea, just because you can, you should be asking yourself, should you? Now, you're giving me all the reasons why you should. Well, what's the reason why you're moving away from North Carolina? You know, you mentioned that one very briefly, but when you sit there and say why we need to go to Indiana, you actually gave me a lot of insight, descriptions, reasons, and why you want to go. But when the situation came up about where you're coming from, it was an accident or a situation or a dramatic situation. And that needs to be explored as much as you just explored the other one, so it won't recreate itself in where you're going, because if you don't, it will. That's a definite, because, I mean, I've seen it. I've actually done this myself in the process of not psychology. It's the idea of watching people, watching families, watching social situations of people, and also economical people, where they're at in their lives, where they live. And it does have an interference. But when you trace it back, you find out one thing, that the person who is in the midst of all this is creating this, and they don't realize it. So I was just sitting going over this thing before where people talk about, I was trying to change some perceptions here. When work is hard. Relationships are hard. I'm sitting there going, why don't you take this and change those? And they said, no, you can't change those because that's just the way it is. Says who? That's what I'm saying. It's like, for example, when you get a girl's phone number, they say you should go wait three days before you call them. Says who? See, no one can really tell you why or who, because it's something that's been set out there that people keep living over and over again. And that's what I'm saying with the idea of perceptions the same way. With family and that kind of stuff, with your situation, it seems like there's something going on with your family too as well that you don't like, and there's something about that whole situation. And I was sitting talking about this with my daughter too. I asked her about her ex-boyfriend. I said, are you over him? And she goes, no, I hate him. Not realizing by making that statement, the statement tells me that she's not over him. And I'll tell you why. It's because she hates him. Now, hate is an emotional connection as much as love. So until you get to the point of actually severing ties with your family in Florida, which I feel like there's some craziness going on there.
Especially by my time in Florida, Florida's hot. I never want to live there again, and it's humid. That's the one thing I do like about the Carolinas, the four seasons, and I'm looking forward to Indiana having a winter and a fall and a summer and a spring. I guess we want to move there because the main part is we want to. We can move anywhere because we're single, we don't have children, and we're getting married when we're two adults, but I think we chose to move there. Like I said, we could have moved to New York City, but that's too expensive, so we didn't do that. So that was where we chose to move, I think, because we wanted to. Because I don't think we had to do it.
Right, I understand that point of view, but all I'm saying is the situation, really, I'm sitting there focusing on this one thing. Do you feel like that too? Like, for example, so, okay, I understand that, but with your family, how would you describe your family?
Let's see. I have a lot of aunts, and they bicker sometimes, but for the most part, I really love all of them. I call as much as I can, talk to my mom every day, but we're okay. My family is actually closer than my fiance's family, unfortunately. Like, we're more in each other's lives. But for the most part, we're an okay family.
Okay. Do you feel like life is such work and relationships are such work and making money is such work too as well?
No, not really. No, that's what I'm nervous about, like, losing this job. I love my job, and I'm so happy, in my job, and I will be nervous to lose it. That's why I really would like to know if I would transfer with this company, because I get up and I'm happy to go to work. I used to have a job when I'm sick and nauseous to go to work, but now I'm actually happy and get up early to get there 30 minutes early, and.
So what's your job and everything else that goes along with it, okay? With work and that kind of stuff. So if you lost your job, the world comes to an end, right?
I'm sorry?
when you lose your job, the world comes to an end, correct?
Well, no, no. I'm willing to let it go. I did apply to a couple other places, but I wanted to keep this company because I enjoy it. And if I have to, then I'll just, you know, work at the other company that I've applied to. I actually have a phone interview with them tomorrow at 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
If you had a choice to do exactly what you wanted, what you love, and what you're passionate about, what would that be?
I don't know. That's a hard question. There's so many things I want to do. Own my own business, but everybody says that, right? So just kind of own my own business. Something
yes,
more service.
That's
I like
true
to
too.
Help people.
That's
and
true,
I'm friendly.
True, but the reason, but the reason people want to have businesses is because that's the way it's supposed to be. It's like we were talking about this yesterday, too. We're talking about people who say, I want to be single. Now, you know how ridiculous that statement sounds? If you trace it back to the origin of how we were created and the idea, if you read the Bible and if you believe in that kind of aspect, well, I do. And I believe that, you know, that life is nothing but relationships, okay? So, therefore, we were actually born to be as a couple because that's how Adam and Eve were. Adam and Eve were made of each other. Well, Adam and Eve was created too as well. Now, you look at the two situations also, okay, and look at the idea of being created from one being, then we're all connected. So the idea of being single is crazy because you can't do it. You can't be single from the whole because you're always going to be a part of that because we're all energy, we're all connected, we're all created from the same entity and the same energy base, okay? So when you look at the situation like that, it's like looking at the situation in your life. Who created all the success in your life?
What a success in my life, you said?
Who created all the success in your life?
I guess me and partly my mom, I guess, my family. But,
no,
you know,
just
my
you.
Decision.
No,
so
that's what I'm saying. People always give everybody else a freaking responsibility or the ideal of saying, well, you helped me with my life. No, all they did was they gave you the tools, and you still made the decisions. So therefore, those people, those situations, those jobs were just opportunities and things that you attracted into your life to create the success. So you created the success. So therefore, the idea of owning your own business, first and foremost, you got to change your perception and realize the ideal, what is that? And also that you do deserve and desire because everything else in your life that ever came to you is because of you. You asked for it. You put it out there. You put your intentions and you created it. Simple as that. And the reason I'm asking the question is, it's like, out of the two places, where would you really, 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 really would live, New York or Indiana? Because I haven't seen anybody on the show who came here and said, I wanted to move to Indiana. Most of the people have been calling here and saying, I got to get the hell out of here. Okay, the humidity there is crazy. Anyway, I'm just saying with the situation, it's not the idea of putting down Indiana. It's the idea of helping you understand one thing. What you really want, you can have.
Well, I would like to live in Indianapolis, yes. I've always wanted to. I'm from a bigger city. I'm from Miami, so I'm a city girl. So as long as I'm living in a big city, yes, New York will be great. But honestly, I don't want to pay $1 million for a one-bedroom apartment. I'd rather live in Indianapolis, and pay $1 million for a huge house and be happy. It's still a big city, and I'm content and happy. You know.
Okay.
I guess I would enjoy it there, and I've. It's exciting. I'm happy to look at the apartments and the homes there and the area and what there is to do. We're excited. I'm excited about it. And I know John's excited about it, too.
Okay, let's forget John. Let's just talk about you. Okay?
Okay.
Let's focus on the situation. Because realistically, it's not the idea of denouncing John. It's the idea that John's responsible for John and you're not. Okay? What you do for yourself strengthens the relationship. What John does for himself strengthens the relationship. What you guys don't do for yourselves weakens the relationship. And the idea of the situation is what you want, need, desire, what you really want. Because when you look at the situation, if I'm just saying reexamine everything and make sure this is exactly what you want, and the idea of no excuses, just tell yourself what you want, what you need, what you desire. Because the other things that go along with it are excuses, and sometimes people don't realize what we're actually saying at this point. Well, I need, you know, I'm a city person, so I need to live here. No, I'm asking you, what do you want? Not because of where you came from, but I'm asking you at this time, in this moment, as in the now, what do you really want to do? So you say you want to live in Indianapolis because you never lived there, right?
Correct.
I would love to move to Indianapolis with my fiancé and get settled and get married this fall and then live there, and then a year later buy a home, and then start some children in a few months after that. That's what I really want.
Okay. So have you ever lived in Minneapolis before?
No, I have visited there, and I did like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just saying, with the situation of you moving to Minneapolis, is it more because of your fiancé, or is it because that's what you really want?
It's one, because that's what I want. It was actually my idea. And two, it's because his family's there, and I want to be close to one of our families.
I understand what you're saying. I really do. I'm just saying, with the situation of taking all the other variables out of the situation and just tracing it back to exactly what you want. I feel like,
yes,
for some reason, I think it's very important in this situation on how it's going to play itself out. This situation is just too organized. It's too structured, and people might think that's crazy, but it's not. That's a worldly aspect of looking at things. And it's like looking at situations when you have too much structure like this. What happens if we have the child first? You can't send it back. You have to sit here and look at the situation. So I'm just trying to really look at the situation of what you want, not what John wants, not what his family wants, not anything else around the whole situation. It's the idea of going back to the core of this situation between two people, and the first core is you. I can't talk to John because now John's not here. But I'm just saying, with the situation, it's crucially important for you to focus entirely on exactly what you want, need, desire. Okay, because it's the only person's responsibility for those things to happen is you, nobody else. And I think, and it's one of the things I think would make it easier for Johnny Boy, because I feel like a lot of guys have a freak out kind of thing going, I don't know if I can take care of her, not realizing it's not your job to take care of her. It's your job to be who you are, to be honest and be truthful. And if you get, and it's like, I've told this before, if you're a guy who gives flowers, great. If you're not, don't give them. Because it's going to set off a chain reaction later on in your relationship when you stop giving, okay, because it's not you. And then she's going to look at the situation and go, okay, my God, now he's changing when he's not. He's just being who he is. And that's what I'm saying in this situation is the more you be yourself, the more you really focus on exactly what you want, what you need, what you desire, what makes you happy, what makes your heart sing and that whole thing, then do it. But what the other thing is I'm not trying to denounce the idea what you're saying about why, but I don't think it's important. I think it's just one of those things that sitting there looking at yourself and going, this is what I want, this is what I desire, and this is what I need. Simple as that. You don't need no justification for the other things out there, okay? And that's what I'm saying. So take those things away and just ask yourself real straight and blunt. You have to ask me now, I'm just saying. And just go over this thing because it hasn't happened yet. But for some reason, I feel like it should have already happened, or there's some kind of delay in here. So I feel like that's what's going on. It's the ideal for you and you only, because it's only us two talking at this moment, that you need to sit down and ask those wants, needs, desires. What are they? Sit there and separate yourself from the situation and say, okay, are these my wants, needs, desires? Are these my parents, my aunts? Is there any kind of influence into the situation? Because there should not be. Because now it's your life. You understand what I'm saying? Because I feel like once I've established and once you do that, I feel things are going to move very fast and very quickly. But you also have to be, there has to be some fun in here. I feel like you're a very fun person, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying the structure that you have planned out where you want to move there and then a year later buy a house and that kind of stuff like that. You're working on a worldly basis so that I know for a fact that there's worldly influences here too as well, okay? So I'm just asking you to take a look at those situations. Take the worldly influences out and start asking yourself what you want. What you're going to find out is, and to make it simple, what you need to do is work with somebody and get connected to your angels and guides, your abilities to understand what I'm talking about, that you're putting yourself in a situation where you think that it's going to take this amount of time. We've had this before when people talk about how fast can I manifest a house in a week if you want. It's your decision. It's your perceptions, and it's also your intentions. Okay, so this whole situation, when I sat here and looked at it, was centered going that something should have gone and started falling into place a whole lot quicker. So there's a lot of indecisiveness in somewhere. And I'm just asking you to take a look at it because I feel like once it does, I'm not saying this is not going to happen. And I'm not saying it's not a good deal, good idea or a bad idea. I'm just saying really take a look at the situation of why you're doing it. If it's just a want, not because of you're a city girl, so you have to live in the city. The idea of looking at situations of life, their experiences, their moments. And sometimes they take us away from the norm, but there are still experiences that we need to experience. Because I feel like the idea of having a house could happen a whole lot sooner. Having a child could actually happen before the house. Okay, these are the things I'm seeing. But I also get the impression of things were changed a little bit more spontaneous stuff here and having some fun. Those things would fall into place where you want them to. Okay?
Yes. I've actually never been told that I'm structured. But thank you. I think that the past few years I have, I've always been told I'm a little more impulsive because I jumped around and moved so much just out of the blue. So, but I think now I'm a little older, I do want to have a little more structure. Yes, it's not like mm-hmm. I've been planning it for a year. It's been like about a month. Like, hey, you want to move here? Sure, why not? Okay, let's move. Let's get a job and get a home to move. I don't think I'm at the stage in my life where I don't just want to mm-hmm. just move and not have any a career. I have to pay my car note and pay my bills.
That's true, too.
Well,
Let me ask you a question. Is that what they do in Florida? They call it a car note? I've never called it that.
A car payment. You know what I got? Actually, that's Indiana. My fiance says that. That's why I got that. I always say a car note.
I used to live in Ohio. That's why I have a town with people going, you want to move to the Midwest? Oh, my God. Anyway.
Yeah, he said that. That's where I got. Well, I'm speaking like him now. See, so I'm ready to move here. I'm already saying car note.
Okay, I'm just saying with the situation and everything else like that, still keep your perception. Keep who you are and keep what's going on in your head. Because I was sitting there looking at the situation. And I'm just saying the ideal, this is kind of funny. If you are the one who creates all the success in your life, the ideal of flying by the seat of your pants is actually someone else's perception, okay? But realistically, it's spontaneous. Like relationships, I've heard people do this about relationships. We're going through the steps because we want to make this relationship work. Well, if you keep going through the steps, you're going to ruin it because there has to be spontaneous, and love is not structured. Love just happens. And the ideal, connecting with two people, and then you have to sit there and take the word relationship off this. Take the words fiance and all these other things off the freaking equation, okay? And just look at it for what it is. It's two people who want to experience each other, who want to have more moments together. So those moments can have spontaneous. I'm not saying they shouldn't be structured in the situation, but there's also listening to oneself to figure out when those structures are supposed to be and when it's supposed to be spontaneous. And the idea of having a child, I really take a look at that one. I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying with the situation, for some reason when it comes to me.
Not right this minute, or maybe after we get married and get a little settled, and I can afford one. They're expensive. Maybe they're not cheap.
How long have you been together?
A year, a little over a year.
And how much longer do you want to be together before you call it working? Because you were sitting there talking. The one thing that kind of threw me off was, well, I want to get to Indianapolis, and I want to get our life started. I'm sorry, but your lives have already started, like, when you started breathing.
Well, I'm started and settled. Like, I was just renting, and I want to, like, own a home and start, get our life mm-hmm. in that sense. Yes, it started with the two of us, but we would like to own a home and work on it together on the weekends and have our own yard to do yard work and silly things like that. But, it makes mm-hmm. us happy because we're doing it together and it's ours and just, putting down roots together.
Okay, but what is roots? You got this like this. With the way you are and the way you're structured, the idea of roots you're talking about is transferring from one place to the other. You already got that foundation. Okay, so you're not going to be starting all over. You're just continuing on, but you'll be continuing on in a different space, in a different place. I guess that's why I was trying to sit there and look at the situation. You keep starting over. See, people don't realize those kind of thinking and thoughts can actually work against you. Because you are going to start thinking as you get in the situation, we should be further along. And the reason you're not further along is because you keep focusing on the ideal of starting all over again, or getting started, or starting a life when you already have one. And what's the ideal? What's very important right now, what you guys are doing with each other, is that you don't make decisions because the other one wants to do it. You just go along with it, okay? You don't want to do that. That's going to ruin your relationship.
Yeah, we're big on communication and being straight and honest with each other.
Keep it up.
Yes, I want to know the truth, and he wants to know the truth, and, we're open.
I'm just saying, sweetie, when he gets back home, you're going to see a different guy. Okay, so just pay attention to the situation of a guy who is going to be, he wants to be near his family, because that's where he feels secure at, okay? So we have to look at the situation of a guy who I'm not saying that you guys don't have a great relationship, but I know for a fact, I've done this several thousand times, with other people, when it's kind of freaky because the woman calls me and says, well, he just changed. He moved back home, and Now he wants to spend all his time over there. He wants them. That's what I'm saying. You have to be crucially important with the situation. That's what I feel. But I also feel like the idea what corrects the situation is maintaining your perception and putting your foot down when it's the ideal, realizing one thing, okay? He doesn't care about family. Family doesn't mean nothing. They can be there if they want to or they don't. What is happening right now, the situation is you have a life and you have a family. It's both you two. And you will have a family before. But one thing you have to understand in one situation, and men have a tough time with this one because they want to go kiss mommy's ass. Okay? And I'm a guy, so I can say that. Anyway, the situation is to realize one thing, that what you guys have created between the two of you comes first before anything.
Gotcha. Because at first he was doing a little hesitant about us moving there. He was like, well, I don't know. It's cold. The winter is there. It kind of sucks. And then after all, he's like, you know what? I kind of really want to move back home. So he's not really, I don't know, you say a mama's boy. He's not even, their family are not as close like my family are. They're more like, they don't talk every day. Mm-hmm. To me, it's weird. I talk to my mom every day, but I guess they're different from my family. So it's kind of
that's
the opposite.
That's true, sweetie. Right. I'm just saying, I've seen a situation before where they might not talk a lot or communicate a lot, but that doesn't mean that they won't when you guys are all in the same place. Because, I mean, it's like one of those things of establishing boundaries right away when you get there, because that's what you got to do. You got to sit there and say, okay, this is our family, this is our home. And it's the ideal of realizing that some people have to say, well, this is my mom. It don't matter. No one comes before your family that you created. He's moved away from family, and I kind of say, I'm just saying, from what I can see with the situation, there might be some drama that could come out of the situation if boundaries are not set right off the bat. And that's what I'm saying. Now, right now, you guys communicate. You guys are totally honest with each other, okay? I do not dismiss that. I'm just saying with the situation of going back and being close to his family, don't be surprised if the family is more than you really care for.
If they're what, more than I care for?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's like mommy showing up every freaking day and going, okay, I'll let you guys in talk. And that'll be, it's one of those things. Most people don't talk.
Yeah, I think that would happen if
we
live in Florida. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think that would happen if we live in Florida. That sounds like my mom. His mom is like, okay, hi, how are you doing? Good, bye. They're more like that. Their personality is like, yeah, our family's not like that. We're not as close and friendly and talkative.
Always remember one thing, sweetie. Like mm-hmm. attracts like. So there has to be similarities and same characteristics, maybe in a different format, but they still exist because both you attracted each other. You guys are both together, getting married and the whole thing. I'm just
mm-hmm.
saying.
Okay.
It's like walking into a situation with your eyes wide open. Don't take it for what you've perceived from a situation. I'm not saying you haven't met them, but you haven't really lived around them in a situation. So, it's, you know, these things are always different. You know, in a format, it's like people dating and all kinds of good stuff. And then when they start living together, then you start having problems because they just thought it was going to be different. And that was the problem.
That's
it should have never been different. Huh?
Yeah, we want to live close to family, but like I said, living where we're going to live about 2.5 hours away from them is close enough, but not close that we need to see them every day. Still close enough. And we're both
also
happy and content about that.
I understand that, guys. That's what I'm saying. This is what happens when we put too much structure in the situation. We're not taking consideration of one thing. They can do whatever they want to do. So you can sit here and say, well, we're 2 hours and a half away. They're not going to do that. Don't. Every time I've had me personally, every time I said someone was not going to do something, boy, was that wrong. Anyway, I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying with a situation that when it's like sitting down and talking to each other going, okay, this is what's going to happen. Okay, we're close to family, but at the same time, when it comes to whatever's going on in our lives, we have to make a declaration that, hey, we come first before anybody. Unless there's like a death or a sickness in the family, of course. But I've had people call up and say it's an emergency. And it's basically, you know, this person is talking about getting some insights on what she's going to fix dinner for her husband that night, which is not an emergency. And people have a tendency to use different kind of excuses to invade people's homes. And it usually has to deal with their securities. Am I saying this is going to happen? No, I'm just saying that when certain things do present themselves and you start, I guess it's one of the things I was talking about before, angels and guides. when you start getting that intuitional part, it says there's something not right with this situation, pay attention to that. Because I feel like when you go back, because I'll just make it simple, okay? But when you go back to it, when you go and you live in Indianapolis and that kind of stuff, I just feel like there's going to be some things that are just not going to set with you. And you have to pay attention to those characteristics and ask yourself what is up and trust yourself that there is, okay? That's the simple line of the situation. So when you're back there and you start noticing certain things, the reason they're coming to your attention because you need to take notice of those things and your solar plexus, or some people call it your clairsensing abilities, which is in your stomach, in your abdomen area. We all hear this butterflies or strange feelings, or something about something doesn't set with us, or we don't feel good about it. You need to pay attention to those things. That's what I'm picking up on the situation, okay?
Okay.
Because I feel like I think you and your fiancé have a great relationship, but I also feel like the more you take titles off of it, the more better experiences you're going to have. Because what you want to do is you want to focus on that he's not your fiancé. He's
is
a person you love.
Yeah, I'm
sorry, because I got kind of crazy with that not long ago. I had a girl I was talking to, and a guy calls me up, and he said that he's your fiancé. And I was like, oh, did you learn a French word today? And I'm sorry, but, you know, when people do this kind of things and they start interfering with certain situations, sometimes I always wonder like, how much truth is in what they're saying because of their tactics. I'm trying to bully somebody, okay? So just kind of keep your eyes open on the situation, what's going on. Because sometimes with family, they can be the nicest people at a distance. But when you start dealing with them on a freaking, in 2.5 hours, it's not that long. I've actually driven that myself. I used to live in Ohio. That's where I'm from. I'm originally from Ohio. And it's one of those things where the Midwest for me is just a bunch of people talking about the legs they've lost, the surgery they've done, and all the freaking negativity they can actually muster up, okay? So I'm just saying when you get there on a regular basis.
I think you just don't like the Midwest. I just love the East Coast, Florida.
That's true too, sweetie, but that's where I was born and raised up until about 6 years ago. You know, it was one of those things where when I got away from there, it seemed like, as you put it, that's when my life began, and everything got better and better and better, which is fantastic, awesome. And it's like I saw, like you were saying before too. I love my family, but at the same time, I can't deal with certain people in the process of real life thinking that this is it. Any kind of subjective coming off this whole thing is different. Because I feel like with you and the situation where you're putting yourself at, you can have a nice business. There's a lot of people in service of a lot of things. And I feel like what you need to do is sit down and just ask yourself flat out, what am I passionate about, what I love, get you a pad and pencil and try to sit down and start writing how could you make that into a business. Because businesses are things that could start the same time you conceive the thought, okay? And people will sit there and go, well, I don't have money. I say, shut up. Okay, money is just another tool to create your business, okay? So therefore, if you have a thought, a vision, and actually come up with the idea what you want to do, it's the ideal of following through your vision, not making excuses. Don't sit there and say, I can't do it. Keep telling yourself, how can I do this? And just opening yourself up and letting down the resistance so let those opportunities come to you. Because I feel like you've worked so much. No?
I'm sorry, I was going to say, I was going to ask you one more quick question, something that is kind of important. We have a court case the 30th, hopefully, my fiancé and I, because, like I said, we have a crazy ex here and just insane. He's been stalking us and stalking him using a GPS in his vehicle, so we move and try to get a restraining order. It's crazy. We just kind of want to, like, be in peace. And we have a court case, hopefully, this end of this month, that hopefully the state is going to represent us. Do you see us winning that, or do you see her start being cuckoo and leaving us alone?
Okay, say that last part. Do I see her doing what?
Stop being crazy and leave us alone.
No, I don't. It's like this. It's like looking at a situation like this realistically and looking at a person for who she is. You know, the situation here, the first thing that came to me the most was there's too much focus on her. There's too much focusing on the situation. So does the opportunities keep creating themselves over and over again. Also, the question that came to me real quickly was, is she one of the reasons why we're also moving?
No, we're moving before her, her craziest. So she's not one of the, it makes it extra? Yes, it does, but we're moving before that, started getting crazy.
Okay, with the situation and stuff, I mean, let me ask you first and foremost, how was your your best friend, your significant other, how does he deal with this?
Well, we both, for the most part, we do ignore it unless she's, like, stopping us at our home. Then we have to get legal action. For the most part, we live our lives. We work, we come home, we enjoy, we have dinner, we grill out, we hang out with our friends and live, unless it's in our face and it's, you know, we're being harassed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't sit and meditate and stress about it. It's just not worth it, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that, sweetie, but what I'm asking you is how does he, just him, singular, how does he deal with it?
For the most part, he ignores it. We do take the precautions we need to do, like getting a restraining order, but we just ignore it. We don't reply to anything. We just ignore it, and we're just waiting for our court case. We don't say anything.
Okay, and this court case, what is supposed to happen in this court case? What's your objective?
We're hoping to get a cyberstalking case so they can stop it. I feel like in some states, you're not a victim of harassment or stalking unless you're, like, hurt. They let it get to that limit or it's pushed, you know, for someone to actually be a victim. I guess they don't think someone's stalking you and finding where you live and coming to your house and messing with your door and things progressing bad enough. You have to have physical hurt for it to be enough, and that's really sad to me.
Of course it is. It's where we've lost a lot of Hollywood stars because of that stupid ass law that someone walked up and shot somebody because they wouldn't do nothing about it before then.
And during this whole situation, I read some stuff about it and read situations where people are like, hey, we try to get a restraining order twice and we need help. And they're just like, oh, no, it's not that bad, you know. And then finally,
Florida's the worst. Whoever gets to the courthouse and gets a restraining order gets the house. It doesn't matter who got assaulted and who doesn't. Somebody's going to wind up homeless. Because I know that for a fact. Because I was in Florida, too, and that's what exactly happened to me. A woman had actually basically beat me up and assaulted me, and I ended up in the freaking street because for one thing I couldn't figure out was that they actually put a restraining order on her when she went to court. She went to jail, and they told her she couldn't be no more. She couldn't be close to the house. I'm sitting there, and the cops show up and to actually tell me I had to leave, and they said, well, they said that you're not on the lease anymore. I'm sorry, dude. You're a cop. You should know right from right. And you know for a fact that someone just can't go into the courthouse and say, I want to take him off the freaking lease. First, they have to have a legal reason why and that kind of stuff like that. And I showed them the lease. Well, it's kind of funny because my name was actually on there 3 times and compared to another person. And you're sitting there going, okay, why? So the reason I'm bringing this up is the ideal town that the cops don't know what the hell they're doing. Or half the time, they're kissing ass. Unless you're a celebrity, you hardly get anything done in this freaking country. Okay, so therefore, you look at the situation, I'm saying the case is just not going to happen the way you think, and the idea of what you planned on doing, follow through as soon as possible, and I think that's one of the situations I was seeing that was holding you guys back, is to let go of it and say, who cares which way it goes. As soon as you move, the situation's done. The sooner, the better. Because is she ever going to change? No. The reason I asked you the question about the guy and how he treats his situation, because it's crucially important of how he deals with these kind of situations.
He just ignores her. And for the most part, he's like,
I'm just saying, guys, to sit there and think that a person is going to change from being crazy and goofy all the time and think that's going to change the situation, it's best to sort of look at it realistically and go, okay, we have to make a decision and do what we got to do. Of course, people say, well, I don't want to leave because of that person. But then again, that person has no intention of leaving, so therefore, what's really best in your best interest is to be somewhere else where she can't affect that whole thing. And I'm just saying, with the situation, does she call or anything?
Oh, yeah, well, she was, and I guess this is the second time we try to get a restraining order, so the call stopped. It just emails. She emails him, she emails his mom, she emails me. It's just like we just ignore her, and it's just crazy. Crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's insane. I don't get it. I'm like, what in the world? But
right.
Sometimes we have to laugh at it because we just, like, you know, for the most part, we just blow it off. But it's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's harassment. It's like we shouldn't have to feel that way. We shouldn't have to feel that somebody knows where we live and stalks
mm-hmm.
us. You know, that's what we should have
to feel. In the process of her calling you, did you change the number?
Well, we just got, you know, she's not calling me, she called him, she emailed me, she knows better. Like, I'm really nice, but, like, I don't play that. So, she knows better than to call me.
I'm just saying all these things would stop if everybody would just change their email, change their phone numbers, and then she couldn't do that.
Yeah, well, he had to change, we got some new phones recently, actually. and he changed his number. I don't think she has mine.
Okay.
So. Yeah, well, but like, I don't feel like we should change everything in our lives that's connected to other people because of one person. They should be able to not cross our boundaries. If they can't do that, then it's when the law has to get involved. I don't like to feel like anyone has the power over me to make me bend and run with my tail between my legs. No.
Yeah, but changing phone numbers and changing emails, it's basically saying enough's enough. It's not running away. To confront this, this is not the Middle Ages where we have to fight people. We just sit here and say, okay, you know something? I don't have to deal with you. I'm not going to deal with you, so therefore I don't. That's what I was asking about him. The idea of phone calls, if he answered any of those phone calls, I would sit here and look at the idea of why.
Oh, no, he doesn't. If anything, I'll tell him, like, you should reply to this email, but he doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, as everything, email or whatever she sends him, he forwards it to me. As I said, we're open. Like, I read everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no problem.
Yeah. But okay.
But yeah,
okay.
I'm just saying with the situation, I think it's one of those things, the case and everything else is going to set off a chain reaction of saying, yeah, the best thing for us to do is to leave and to follow through with our plans. Get detailed about those plans and make it happen as soon as possible, okay?
Okay, so you say you don't see the court, the state representing us and things going the way we plan, hopefully?
I'll tell you the truth, when it comes to me, I said I don't.
Okay.
I'm not saying you're right or wrong, but when you look at the situation like this, I mean, realistically, look at the law. You know, you see one person go to prison for 25 years who just had a simple infraction, and then we see another person who's actually done something major who gets 6 months probation. So, you know, you have to sit there and look at the situation of how these things are. Like I was saying before, our thoughts, our perceptions, and our intentions create the outcome of these situations. Okay?
Yeah.
But when it comes to situations like this, you both have to be on the same page. And I'm just saying with the situation of forwarding emails and forwarding calls and that kind of stuff, there should not be any kind of forwarding. And it's not the idea of keeping communication between the two of you, but this is like useless communication about stuff that you don't need to confront with anymore. She's no longer a part of his life, and that's why she should be.
We don't reply to her. We just ignore all the emails. But he wants me to know what she's saying and so I know what's going on. So he's forwarding them to me. We don't reply at all whatsoever to anything she says.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of us, neither me, him, or his mom, we don't say anything.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, we're not doing that. But, okay, so I'm just going to still cross my finger and hope that works on that court case works. But thank you so much for all your help.
Oh, you're welcome. And call us back, and if you can, and just if you want to do a session, or just give us a call back and give us some insights on him, what happened, how things played out for you, okay?
Definitely, I would love to. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was great. Hello. So, let me ask, Heather, are you there?
Finally! Oh, my God! Technology is not on my side at all.
It should be on your side. It should be in your lap, huh? Anyway.
Well, it is in my lap at the moment. But I'm here. Thank goodness. I finally found the number. I finally got my phone back. Talk about anxiety. Anyway.
All I was going to say was there's two people in the queue. There's Gina, 11Y33, and Nana, Baha. If you guys want to get on the air, give me a sign. All you got to do is push 1. And the thing will pop up, and I'll know if you want to come on or not. A lot of people just call and just to listen, so I just want to establish between the two who wants to listen, who doesn't. So if you want to get on the show, just push 1, and we'd love to talk to you. If you have a comment or insights or something you'd just like to bring to the show, it'd be great. The one thing that was taking so long with the last lady was it was the ideal that, I don't know, personally I don't think she understood what I was saying. They're dealing with the person who is basically stalking her boyfriend. But what I heard was emails and phone calls. And I'm sitting there going, okay. And she says, oh, no, we have communication because he's telling me everything she's saying. My thing was, who cares? You know, why is he so gung-ho? Why is he presenting himself as a person who is
being very open? that was sounding very, very familiar to my own situation. And so what kept coming up for me was that she was trying to block people out of her space, which is a very good idea if you're wanting to move forward. You block them away and, you know, you don't listen to other people talk about them. People just told you that.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody's stalking you, that's, that, and there, I know there's laws with that, but if it's not her personally and it's her boyfriend, there's not a whole lot she can do except encourage him to pursue legal action. See, I didn't listen to the whole thing, so I don't really know how far. I don't know what all.
No, we were talking, when we first started talking, I told her that all I wanted to hear and all I really wanted to talk about was her, not her boyfriend.
Okay.
And when I asked her about the situation and I asked her how does he deal with this, she says, well, we do this and we do that. Okay? What I was trying to get at there was the ideal for her to see the situation from her point of view and only her point of view. But if for some reason there's a situation here that kind of disturbs me in some ways, something I can't really tap onto because it's just not coming to the right way, but at the same time, there just seems more to the situation, okay? And I keep focusing on his side of the whole thing. And maybe she's right about, I don't like the Midwest. There's some, I mean, I love the Midwest. At this point, I miss certain things like walking in the woods. When I was younger, we used to have this thing where we had, it was called a tree cave. And what it is, it's just a big spot in the woods that's opened up. It's all trees and woods and stuff. But some of the trees have fallen down in a certain way, so it looks like a cave.
Awesome.
And we used to hang out and do all kinds of stuff. We had one of the trees that fell over, and at the end of it has a Y shape, right? So what we used to do is we used to play Star Trek. So the people on the top of the Y were in the bridge, and the people at the bottom of the Y were in the engine room. So, you know, all these crazy situations and stuff. Imagination going crazy, right? But we were having a great time. But it was one of those things that kind of, you know, that I've noticed a lot, and I think I do have a lot. I think I do have the right to say certain things that I've experienced in the Midwest. And the one thing I've noticed in the Midwest is people are really, really nice to you until you are close. Because I mean, my in-laws were the nicest people in the world until we actually were kind of close to them, and then it was just the ideal of constantly inflicting on what they thought was best for us. And it's one of those things I try to tell people all the time. Your family, your friends, everything, when it comes to relationship and family, have no right in the situation. They just don't.
I think that happens everywhere, honey. I think it's all people that butt in and tell people how they should do this and how they should do that. So if
that's true, too, sweetie. But what I'm doing right now is I'm sitting here going by personal experiences of things I've gone through and where she's going. Okay? That's why I was saying that. But it was something else I was picking up psychically about the situation, that she used we all the time. When I ask her about how he deals with this woman, he's answering calls, or he's taking the calls. And then they say they have new phones, but when you listen to her talk, you still feel like there's messages getting through. So I'm trying to figure out how the lady gets the phone call, how she gets that number. And if she's calling anybody in his family, somebody's giving that number. Because cell phone numbers are not that easy to get. You can get them. I just don't think she's that intelligent to do that. So therefore, I know what she's doing is she's going through family members and situations and getting information. You think, I'm just saying, when she started talking about how he forwards things to her, about what this woman's doing, I'm saying,
okay.
Why?
Here's what I'm getting. Either, what was the lady's name that called tonight? Do you remember? Anyway, what she needs to do...
It was a name that I can't pronounce, okay?
It was a beautiful name.
Oh, shoot. It was not like Monkey Maid. It wasn't like a Jane or kind of thing. It was definitely a unique name.
Okay. I love those. They're so pretty, but very, very different for sure. Anyway, the thing is, she needs to absolutely let go and not be concerned about it. If her boyfriend is concerned, he will either do something or he won't, okay? Either he is interested in what's going on or he's not, you know? And if he is interested in what's going on, perhaps it's not so positive kind of interested. Like you might be actually interested in this girl that is pursuing him, which is, in that case, this young lady needs to let go and move on and move forward. But that's the decision that she's going to have to come to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm getting.
I'm just saying, yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying you're full of it. No, I'm just kidding. But
well, see, and I didn't even get to share the whole thing. So I just got on the last 2 minutes of it.
No, you're fine. No, I understand that because I was just saying when I first started talking to her, I was talking about certain things that were going on and the idea of what she wants to do. And in the process of conversation, she brought up New York and she brought up Indianapolis. And she said, I'd love to live in New York, but it's too expensive. I'm sitting there going, it's amazing how people use excuses and they don't realize they're actually using an excuse. That's not a fact. She'll sit here and say it is because that's her perception right now of how her life is. You know what I'm saying? But she's also focusing on changing her life. So in the process of focusing on changing one's life, you also have to change your perception and ask yourself, well, that's what I was trying to get her to do. We'll say, okay, I want you to sit there and ask yourself, what do you want, need, and desire? And what I mean by that, I mean you. Nobody else. Not what your family has said. You're sitting there using all kinds of excuses not to do something. Like, I want to move close to my family because it's too hot in Florida. Okay, and the reason I say that, because I knew when I moved to Colorado, when I came to Colorado, I am not a person who loves the cold, and the idea of snow and stuff just irritates the shit out of me. But for some reason, I allowed myself to come to Colorado and accidentally got on the wrong bus, which now I realize it wasn't an accident. That's what I'm saying. There's no such thing as accident. But it was like, I remember putting a thought out there and saying, I'd love to see Manitou Springs. So I kept on hearing about it, right? So I get on the wrong bus and end up in Manitou Springs. So I was sitting there going, or as we change our perception and say, I got on the right bus, ended up in the right place, which changed my life forever. Ding. But that's where I was starting to look at the situation going, okay. And see, we're talking about this moving to Indianapolis because they want to be close to the family. Okay, I understand that. But my thing was, why do you want to be close to the family? And they said, well, we want the family to interact. And we'll want the family to be a part of the when we start having kids and stuff. Okay, well, I'm just saying, give people the chance to do those things. If they want to be a part of their lives, they will make it happen, and they will find a way to get there. It's not impossibility. It's not in this day and age. I mean, shoot, my friend is going to Italy. She saved up money for about, I think, 2 months. She's going to go to Italy for like 3 or 4 months. But, you know, when you look at the situation, she never said, it's too expensive. I don't think I should do it. There's nobody there I know, and why should I go? No, she said, I am going to go to Italy. I feel like I want to experience some more things, and she made a conscious choice to do so, and the next thing you know, that's where she's going. You know, it's one of those situations of another experience. Life is full of experiences, and we create those experiences. Those experiences just don't happen, and opportunities just don't happen. We're putting all this stuff out there, and then it's all coming back. And if we don't take advantage of it, because we were talking about this earlier in the show, or talking about, you know, in the Bible it says giving is more important than receiving. And then when we sort of look at the situation and realize why they would say that, because without giving, there is no receiving. So it's crucially important.
Exactly.
But at the same time,
to give is also to receive. Because when you don't receive, you're not allowing somebody else to be a giver. You're not allowing somebody else to give. So you're ripping them off as well as yourself. Sorry.
Yeah, you give. Yes. If you give of oneself, then everyone else gives of themselves as well. It starts off a fantastic chain reaction of a change in the world at that moment. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, you're wrong. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I was just saying with the situation with this woman.
Okay, I'll just be quiet.
I just hope it all turns out well because it's one of those situations where this is another thing I was trying to bring up too, was the idea she comes saying she couldn't wait to get to Indianapolis so she could start her life. I'm sitting there going, but what does that mean? So you could start your life. Your life started
because
when you started breathing.
There's the mentality that has kind of, as a society, as a human race, probably
mm-hmm.
even just Americans,
mm-hmm.
this mentality of, oh my gosh, when I get married, I can finally do this. When I have kids, I can do this. Everybody lives in that mindset of when this happens, I'll be happy. When this happens, I can do this and I'll be happy. And that's, you have to be happy right now, where you are, what you're doing. And yes, when the children, when the marriage comes along, when the children come along, and then the children are grown and gone, all of it, they're all beautiful parts of life. And you celebrate each one of those, but you have to live in the now. Not when this happens, I'm going to be happy. Or when this happens, I can finally have this. It's something that we were all, think about it. There's so many people that talk about that. Oh my gosh, when my kids graduate from high school, I can go on a cruise. Well, I'm sure you can go on a cruise when your children are babies, if you choose to, with or without them. Nothing has to look a certain way, and anything can be accomplished. Anything. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I love my little soapbox. Thank you for laughing. That was, I thought that was funny. Anyways, I'll try to keep it down.
So, Heather, let me ask you a question. I'd ask you about a certain tool that you might have in your house. So are you looking for?
Oh, a hammer. I still have not been that far in my kitchen.
Okay, listen to me. I said, instead of you looking for it, and since it's kind of an uncomfortable situation, why can't you let me come over and look for it? We don't have to even deal with it.
Well, my house is locked.
Your what?
I tell you, my house is locked. But I tell you, and I'm not at my house right now. I don't know if you can tell that or not, but I am multitasking yet again. Anyway, and I'm trying to be very good with my phone, especially since it's very delicate. I'm not at my house, and I still seriously think you should take your lightest dumbbell and use that as a hammer if you can. But you never did take the 10-pound back, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
How do you spell promise?
How what?
How do you spell promise?
Promise, P-R-O-M-I-S-E, or C-E.
P-R-O. M-I-S-E?
Yeah.
No, I was just sitting there reading an email I had gotten from that one girl I told you about, Shelleen, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she said she wants to come down. She's free Sunday afternoon and evening, up to whatever, and whatever you decide. Just nothing involving the climb, like a vertical climb, like the incline.
That's awesome. I have a friend who's training for the incline, and I'm like, ooh. Show off.
Say what?
I said I have a friend who is training, like has a trainer and is training to score the incline so that she can do the incline. Show off. Because really, honestly, that bar trail, if you can hike that bar trail, that's a good way to get yourself in better shape so that you can eventually do the incline. That bar trail kicked my butt, though.
I don't give a hoot.
You don't give a hoot?
I think we should put ourselves in situations that kick our asses because it motivates us to see, you know, we can do other things as well.
I need to have one of those little cans of oxygen that we have at Patsy's. And I could probably do it.
I can. Well, it's one of those things, too. I was like, really? It's like I was looking at things, teaching people how to do things. I've been a personal trainer for a long time, and I started taking it one step further and teaching not just the idea of how weights and working out affects the body, but also how it affects your chakras, your energy centers, and your energy as well. So when you're sitting around, you know, body in a state of movement is all, and it's moving all the time. The same thing, you know.
When you have that, when you're active like that, you start sweating, that'll also allow the release of toxins. out of your body. So it's very, very good for you in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
As well as your chakra.
Yeah, I know.
So
that's
my way of
clearing chakras. Well, I was just going over some chakras with people and saying, you know something, with the situation and stuff, when you look at everything, it makes perfect sense on a lot of things that you don't realize. Like I was talking about before, about women who have a tendency to have a lot of weight around the midsection, then you start listening to them talk about how they've not really accomplished a lot of things. So they still have a lot of desires and a lot of things that I guess you would say they have an appetite for doing, they haven't done. So that chakra is out of balance, which has a tendency to create an imbalance of certain things that they start doing, taking food in, maybe drinking or whatever, that has a tendency to, where that weight will accumulate in that one area. And then once you balance up that chakra, it's amazing how they lose weight. So we can sit here and teach you how to work out, but I've also seen people, I've seen this one guy who was an alcoholic, didn't change anything in his life except he started working out. And after 6 months later, he looked the same. Had a little pudgy
belly.
He
looked the same. Well, yeah,
exactly
there's a lot of things that contribute to weight gain and weight loss. Did you know hoarders are generally very, very overweight, especially in certain areas? But clutter, those who have a lot of clutter, I can think of one. I'm sorry. I do love my
You're
stuff.
You're mean.
But yet, clutter can, just a messy bedroom. And I'm probably the worst at it, but it really is, it does affect our well-being as well as our weight when our home is a mess or our bedroom. Our bedroom is supposed to be our sanctuary. That's supposed to be where we recharge our batteries. You know, we find peace there. And if that's a mess, then you don't sleep well, you don't feel well, and yeah, you can tend to hang on to your fat. So that's
okay, nicely put.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'm just being honest.
Right.
And I can say that because that I just described myself. It's all learning. I mean, there's a lot of information that I have. It's a matter of applying it to myself. And I do share a lot of my personal issues because I know that I'm still working on those things, but I can assist other people in working through them as well. Because I'm going through it. I understand it. I get it. I know how much it hurts.
Right.
But we can do this. We're strong, beautiful, amazing people. We're spirit beings having a human existence. We are pretending. And we get to have fun. Let's go. Have fun. There.
Okay, cool. I'm going to sit there and ask other people for their opinion.
Okay.
And I was like, I was trying to figure this one. For example, let's talk to this one lady here. I think it's a Skype call. I've always had trouble pronouncing this thing. It's BNNABODHI.
Yeah, it's Anna, but I'm just listening. Thank you.
So you don't want to give us any opinions about anything? You just want to listen, okay?
I was listening, yeah. I was not really have an opinion, actually, no, right now.
Okay, no problem. I don't. So I'll just put you back on listening mode.
Yeah. Yep.
It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, I might call with my home phone though, because my computer is not working. It's like I can't seem to do open the chat or listen on blog my computer.
Oh,
right.
Honey, you're like me. Technology is not in your favor tonight.
It's not, and it's been like this since the whole day, and I think yesterday too. So I have to. Shut my phone
off. It happens.
What?
It happens.
Yeah,
it happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm calling with Skype, and it's working perfectly well.
Awesome.
Okay, cool.
Well, there you go.
So I guess we'll talk to you a little bit later then, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to shut my computer off and then log back on.
Alrighty. We'll talk to you then.
Talk to you later.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's see. Let's see if Gina might have a freaking opinion, too, as well. So, is Gina there? I think it's Gina 11Y33.
Yeah, I'm here. I was just more listening. I have opinions, but I would rather keep it to myself.
Why? We don't.
Well, you don't have to keep it to yourself, honey. Unless you just really want to.
Well, no, there's a lot that I don't agree with, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When you say
there's a lot of things that you don't agree with what I said, or just the idea of the world? Or both?
Both.
It's okay. You said there's a lot that you disagree with.
Well,
what do you disagree with?
You mentioned earlier about choices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, living in the moment, blah, blah, blah. Well,
mm-hmm.
Some people have, I don't know what they call it, the dark night of the soul. And during that time, you don't have choices. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Everybody's built differently. Everybody has their, every personality is just different.
That's true.
Every personality is different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if
there was a death in a family after another, after another, another. You know what I mean? You have a choice to be happy or have a choice to be sad. Well,
right.
That's true. How do you be happy? You said you're looking at a situation going, people use the word passing on. It means they've gone from this lifetime to another. And the idea of passing on and the idea of sadness is even the Bible, it says in the Bible, you should never mourn for more than 30 days for people who pass away, because if you do, it's more of self-indulgence. And when you look at the idea of self-indulgence, it's the idea of what is sadness? It's something of some kind of expectation that didn't go the way you wanted it to.
Okay.
So when you start looking at the situation and realizing it happened this way with both of you, and then you understand.
Yeah, because I'm hearing
echo. There was a point there, too, where I lost them.
I'm hearing an echo.
Me, too, and I can't figure out why, because it doesn't even sound like me.
Oh,
God. That's funny. I don't hear the echo.
Okay.
I hear the echo, too.
I was just reading something on CNN. I mean, I barely watch TV, but it was just on my
mm-hmm.
iPad yesterday, and the rates on suicide, it's up, and I guess they're trying to figure out why is it affecting, you know, more the middle age group.
This is what I want you to watch out. When you listen to stuff news related and that kind of stuff, bullshit. Okay? Right now, they're not telling you one thing. The statistics say,
uh-huh.
this has been done years ago, that there's more suicides in May than there are any other time of the year. So here's a person who's playing on that, but not telling you every little thing for the drama part of the situation, of tapping in on your getting a chord with you, because they're trying to get ratings, money, just people to listen to them and that kind of stuff. Because realistically, if people stop listening to the news tomorrow, everybody,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't exist.
Well,
okay,
yeah,
so
and that's so funny that you mentioned that, you know, like attracts like. I mean, I stay away from certain things because, you know, I have issues that I'm dealing with right now. Coping
mm-hmm.
is one of them. And it's, I mean, I don't even look at it. I mean, it's just one day I just decided open CNN and boom, there it is. It's like I wasn't even
mm-hmm.
looking for it. And every time
that's
I turn around,
true.
it's someone, it's a friend of a friend. It's mostly middle-aged people.
That's true, too,
and
sweetie. Let's take a look at the situation of people. They're so caught up in the media and stuff. Realistically, the reason they don't think they have a reason to live because they're not living their lives.
Yeah. So,
you know, another
people,
thing.
Is it mental illness? Is it self-indulgence that, you know, people who do that, you know, and
it could be all
about,
of this, honey.
Huh?
It could also be that they're just giving up on life.
Yeah.
That they see no other way, and so they just give up. They don't see, and that's another choice, though.
Yeah,
because
so that's all I was saying was the ones I've seen before who do that, I've also noticed their lives. They wasn't living it. They were just so indulged in what they didn't have. They didn't give themselves time to actually look at the situations, the things they do have. Even it's a simple thing, you know? Because, I mean, there's been situations where I've sat here and looked at things too, like that too, as well. And it just, I'm sitting here going, like attracts like. But at that time, it was the ideal of feeling down, but it wasn't the ideal of committing suicide. It was just the ideal of seeing something like that too, as well. But it was also a reflection back at me of what I needed to do, not the ideal of follow the leader, okay? And
mm-hmm.
look at the situation and what it was. It was the ideal of going, okay, why would I be a, I've done this the same thing too. Like, you know, you attract certain people in your life and go, okay, I don't like that. Of course you're not like that, but they, like you said before, like attracts like. But the reflection also is what we're going to attract in our lives too, to reflect back at us at some things we're going through at that moment, to actually give us some light and give us some direction. Now, I also seen this the other day too, in one of my spiritual books, the description of sin is the lack of. So people have a tendency to do things in the lack of that they normally wouldn't do, so they have a tendency to sin and to commit suicide and these other things. But when they sit there and start focusing on the fulfillment of life and realizing that the things that they think are missing never did and never were missing things. They just no longer are part of your life. It's like a spouse. It's like looking at a situation. Someone just left me. And I say, quit taking it so personal. And look
mm-hmm.
at a person who just left. When you start looking at things like that, you start realizing that you're making more out of the situation and you're feeding into drama. And then 9 out of 10 times you find out there's your environment and situations that are going on have a tendency to reflect that too as well. So you just kind of back off and look at the reflection of what it is. It's not the ideal that life sucks. It's the ideal of looking at your own life and how it reflects with those situations. Because I've seen a lot of people look at the reflection and say, well, this guy, he's self-indulgent, self-centered. How does that reflect back at me? It's the idea of a guy focusing too much on himself, which also reflects back at you. You're not focusing on yourself enough. Okay, so to balance the situation out is to take that attention that you're focusing on everything else.
Mm.
It's like the idea of suicide. When I start looking at the situation and actually focusing on you, it's just the idea of saying, stop putting yourself in a situation of thinking that things are hopeless and just live your life. You know, sometimes my hardest thing I've found lately is that when there's nothing happening, it's like listening to your angels and guides, your center going, what is it, what makes you think that you have to be doing something every second of every day? Why can't you just sit back and then you have a chance, because of all the things you've done to this point have put you in a situation where you can actually sit back, observe, and enjoy, and really see things for what they are, when before
yeah.
you didn't have the time.
Yeah, you know, and it's so funny because, you know, at one time I was like really and I have family members, and they just said, you need to put the books down, put the spiritual books down, because I guess I was becoming obsessed with it, which I don't know. I don't think so. It was just, it's more curiosity of the unknown. And
well, you're searching.
I'm sorry?
You're searching, honey.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and, you know. With,
yeah, the thing
with
I get the most curious is, sorry.
Yeah, especially with synchronicity, because it happens all the time. It's like, whoa, why I feel like this keeps happening. It's just so strange.
Well, when it comes
yeah.
to people passing away, whether they take their own life or whether it's just their time, it's part of their journey. It's what they've chosen. I do believe in our spirits existing before we came here, and I do believe that they will exist after we leave here. And I also believe that we've been here before and that we will come back. And but that is my own personal belief. That is not a I don't believe that everybody has to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that I find absolute joy in, knowing that we can come back and we can do this again.
Are you serious?
But when somebody, yes, this is so much fun. There are so many experiences I have not had since I've been here, and I want to. you know, somebody was talking about the city and then living in a tiny town, and, you know, you can't accomplish everything in one life. You can't learn everything in one life, but that's the whole point of living and dying. We're learning, and it's time to, when they go, now I lost my dad about 20 years ago, about 19 years ago, and he is one of my angels. I've had experiences
mm-hmm.
with him. It's been incredible. But
yeah.
I do miss him physically being here on the earth with us. But at the same time, I have this beautiful relationship with him that I was not able to accomplish here, with him here. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It just wasn't. And so that's
why?
One of the, I don't know why. But if I don't care why or why not,
mm-hmm.
I just know that the way things are now, I love it. I love having.
I'm going to sit there.
Anyway, so all what right, I'm saying just... is those who go on, those who pass, they're not gone. They're not gone for good.
No. No, and I believe, and I agree with that.
No, the one thing I wanted to sit and say real quick was the idea when she said about her family. And I had this situation happen not too long ago either, to when my mom was sitting telling me that she wished I would do something different that she could be proud of. And I looked her right in the face and said, you know something, Mom? This is the way it's going to work. I'm going to continue to keep doing this.
Yeah.
And I said, I understand you don't approve of this, but it would be great if you would just be supportive in what I chose to do.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to, you know, try to project on me on how you think my life should be. Because it's really none of your business.
Right.
You know, people look at me and say, that's rude. I said, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the sense you think it is. I think it's rude for someone to sit there and jump my ass. I'm an adult. She's an adult. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you come to that parameter, there has to be respect on both sides to realize I'm no longer her. I mean, I'm her child, but not in the sense it was before where she had the right to do those things. And the process of raising me and giving me the insight and the information and to help me make better choices. Okay,
well,
what she needs to do is step back. And she needs to step back and look at the situation, right, that
mm-hmm.
she should trust what she's done. And let me do what I feel like I should do. Because, I mean, I have my own promptings, my own guidance, my own thing going on. And with you, I think you should actually sit down with a professional and really get in connection with your angels and your guides to understand what's going on,
mm-hmm.
that you would understand that you have the right to stand your ground and say, you know something, Mom, I understand where you're coming from, but now that I'm how old are you first? How old are you?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, Mother's Day, I turned 39.
Awesome.
You don't sound 39, so what you should do is you seem to be, you have the energy of a 25 or 26-year-old, so I would go with that. Anyway, seriously, you know, the idea of perception works on everything, even the idea of perceiving life, of how old we are, because if you sit here and look at the situation, right, realistically, look at how things go. Now, life has changed in the 21st century. So a 40-year-old, as we were told back in the Roman times, is when you died.
Mm-hmm.
Most people back in the Roman times didn't live no more than 40. But if you look at history, you'll find that people did, in some sense of the word. But there was a lot of people who had this perception that when you get 40, you died, and they pretty much lived that perception. So when you sit here and look at the idea of how perception can be so, like, for example, this guy had a perception that if he took a certain pill, he
mm-hmm.
would be cured of cancer. As soon as the media came along and said, you know something, that stuff doesn't work, he died.
Yeah.
Now you see perception worked really good for him when he perceived that the pill would cure his cancer. But as soon as something came into his perception, it told him otherwise, he died. Now you see this situation? To
mm-hmm.
sit there and say that we don't have a choice if we stay here or don't, that kind of defies what just happened, didn't it? Because this guy basically made his choices indirectly. By what he was, by his environment telling him what was going on, what was not going on, okay? But when
mm-hmm.
you sit and look at the situation real clearly, and you look at the situations that our intentions do create everything and anything. Now, with the idea of family members dying and all that kind of stuff, now we
mm-hmm.
don't prove. That's something we didn't. We did not manifest those things as in the sense of their death, but we can look at the situation and learn and grow from it too as well. Anything can be that way. My grandmother died, and I was kind of freaked out because I didn't allow myself to feed into the world of perception of what you're supposed to do when someone dies. My grandmother died and passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Did I feel sad about the whole thing? No, I didn't. And I got a lot of rap for it, too, because, well, you're supposed to feel this way. And I said, shut the fuck up. I'm going to feel the way I'm going to feel. And just because you don't approve of that,
mm-hmm.
what gives you the right to project any other thing otherwise in my life? You don't. My mom's the same way. She sits there and says things to me all the time. It's amazing how people don't realize, the Christians, how mean they can actually be by the things they say, but they don't know what they're even talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll sort of look at you and go, well, you know, I'm sorry, but don't you ever want to get blessed in your life? I'm sitting there going, boy, buddy, you're not intuitive or nothing, are you? Huh? The guy goes, what do you mean? I said, I get blessed every freaking day, so what are you talking about? It's amazing, isn't it? Christians only, well, I will sit here and say it like this, not blasting all Christians, because I have a couple of friends of mine that are really, when they come to me, they just sit here and say, I love you, man. I can hack that. They don't sit there and look at me and go, well, you know, your life sucks, man, and you need our help. No, but there are some that do, and I think those people have a tendency to, this is a reflection that they're not looking at to see themselves, that the one people that really need to help
mm-hmm.
is themselves, because they're not willing to look at it. They're thinking, okay, I've been saved by Jesus. Really? Look at your life and how you're sitting there looking at me. You see nothing but my but the worst within me, which my reflection is reflecting back at them about themselves. Now, what can we perceive from the situation if not that, that they're not being truthful?
Mm-hmm.
So how can I take them? So they look at me and say, how come you don't believe me? Or my brother's like this. He was in there, he preaches a lot, and he said, how come people just don't take me seriously? Because your life doesn't reflect it. You're married to my ex-wife. Not because he's married to my ex-wife, but it's something he's done that he refuses to correct. He thinks
mm-hmm.
that since he's Christian and he's saved and he's in a better way, that he doesn't have to do everything like the world does. And he doesn't realize that a lot of things in his life, he'd probably be more prosperous if he would correct certain things, but he refuses to do so. So it reflects. And people
yeah,
see that. And I don't take you seriously. I'm just saying.
To be humble, whether we are Christian or not Christian or whatever it is that we choose.
Yeah, if
we get to be
humble. We
get to
be humble. Yeah, humble is like this. I love you because I love myself. And I can say that very clearly because you're a fantastic person. So is Heather sometimes. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
Can I answer something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you're Christian. And I'm kind of in between. It's more, you know, like the supernatural versus...
Oh, let's put it real clearly, sweetie. I'm not Christian. Let's put it this way. I had a lady ask me this question once, and she asked me if I was a pagan or Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I said, why do I have to be either one to believe?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't.
Exactly.
Christians,
so, honey,
you are...
You said that... Say again what it is that you are...
No, I was raised, you know, Catholic, and
oh, sorry.
There's a lot that I don't believe. I especially don't believe in
like,
politics.
Catholics, okay.
Definitely don't believe in politics.
I had a problem. I didn't have a problem with Catholics until I decided I was going to marry one, and then they said I had to become a Catholic, and I had to. And since my oldest daughter was born out of wedlock,
mm-hmm.
I'd have to denounce her. And from that point on, I just sat there and said, no, I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
It kind of killed the relationship and stuff. But I'm not giving my daughter up for nobody or nothing. So that ticked me off.
Mormonism, Catholicism, there's a lot of rules. And it's not bad, sick, or wrong either, but that's what the churches teach. And if you choose to follow in that direction, well, then you choose to take on their rules and whatnot. So a lot of people tend to break away from those, like myself. you break away from that because that's,
yeah.
For me, I have things I get to learn, and I can't learn those things if I'm following such strict rules. So that's me speaking for myself. Now, you say that you were raised Catholic, but you are looking into other.
Oh yeah, I even took a class on world religion. So yeah, I look at all of it,
mm-hmm.
especially like the supernatural.
I think it's one of those situations. I've been teaching a lot when I'm in my shop. And it's not the idea of looking for oneself. It's the idea of accepting oneself for who you are. Just accept yourself for who you are right now, today.
Well,
just,
you know, I know that. I mean, I'm going through a process. But even when, like, that dark time of my life, I was sitting with a bunch of people, I was being treated for depression, clinical depression. And
mm-hmm.
there's other, you know, patients and a lot of them, you know, bipolar and, it was so
right.
funny because I explained to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, the visions I was having, you know, what, you know, I wonder what it was.
What did they tell you?
Well, no, the bipolar guy sent and I thought I was crazy.
Right.
I said, and then, you know, and then I have, you know, family. Oh, that was a devil, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just, I have so many questions, especially, you know, during that time. It's like, was it
okay,
you know,
so
bad spirits, you know, bad energy, really? You know, all of that. I just wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, I now I'm hearing an echo with me. visions are not a bad thing, honey. I get them myself. It's something to be in tune to. You want to pay attention to that. And, but do you constantly...
Sharing
before. Huh?
You know, no, I was sitting, I saw someone before, and they were talking about, I was reading Dr. Wayne Dyer's book, and he says, the ideal of visions and stuff like that, for example, using an example, what he said, that when you're in the process of manifesting your life and things are coming to you and how to do that, you should keep them to yourself because some people are just not going to understand it. And then the ideal of people that are in profession and these professional positions are trying to be in control. They want to sit there and say, well, I have the answers. I know what to do. And he says one other thing, too, that I like a lot. It's the ideal of keep your mind open to everything and attached to nothing. Now, if we look at doctors and psychiatrists and all these people, they have a tendency in churches, they go by a structure. Okay, they go by a plan. They go by their perception on the thing, and they refuse to have an open mind, and they refuse to be detached from anything, where they have a certain way of doing things. So they're going to grasp onto that whole thing, and then they're going to look at you and say, hey, this is what you need to do, okay? Which what's so funny about the whole thing is life is about sharing. That's what relationships are about. And the process of having a relationship with your psychiatrist, and what I mean by relationship, it means you're interacting with each other, okay? I didn't say romantic. I said relationship. Mm-hmm. That they should take a consideration of sharing, not just what you're sharing with them, but they also should share some of their parts of their lives to give you some insights on where they've come from, too, that brought them to where they're at, to prove that they can actually help you. And I have a tendency to do a lot of readings that way, where people look at me and say, well, I don't want to hear about your life. I said, do me a favor. Listen to what is being said. Listen to all the things that happened between the two of us in the course of this session, because they all mean something. And this is another way of actually opening up and saying you can detach and keep your mind open, because the more you keep your mind open to everything, the more you start seeing the truth. And you can also it enables you to listen to your heart. When you listen to your heart and you keep following through all those things, the visions are like that too. Visions are telling you from your guides and your angels. These visions are saying this is what you need to do. You follow through with the whole thing, how it radiates with you. Follow your heart. When you follow your heart and you keep doing that over and over again, it eliminates your mind. So therefore you can not just feel it, but you see it. So they work together. But a lot of times we don't do that. We think they're two separate entities when actually they all work together. It's the same thing with some of our chakras and some of our abilities. They all have a tendency to interact. And realistically, you look at these kind of relationships in the outer world too as well, we all have a tendency to interact. But the best interactions that we have is when people share. Not that they sit there and go, okay, and they shove this stuff down your throat. It's when they just share of their beliefs. Then you have a tendency to be open-minded. But if you're already open-minded, you knew what was coming anyway. I'm just saying, with all these situations, I was going to say before earlier, too, depression, the definition of depression is to live up to someone else's expectations, not your own. So people get depressed because they can't live up to the world. And when I say a person, we're talking about the world as an entity, too, that we try to live up to the world's expectations when we don't have to. And when we start realizing these things, you'll start looking at people who are very spiritual. And what you're being guided to is to be more spiritual, is the idea of looking for the answers, which have nothing to do with psychiatrists, anything on the freaking worldly level that's going to help you. Because if it did, you wouldn't be gravitating to the answer, which is more spiritual books.
I heard depression also means anger towards self. Another meaning of depression.
And foremost, anger toward oneself means the reason you're angry with yourself because you can't live up to everybody else's expectations.
Ah, okay.
Well, my personal experience is that when I have a bit of a depression, usually I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not meditating daily and connecting and grounding, connecting to source and grounding to Mother Earth, I do get depressed because I'm not utilizing the tools that I have. I'm not doing what it is that I'm supposed to do that truly makes me happy. And so it is something to pay attention to. It's a tool that you can use. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling real happy. What's going on here? Now, sometimes we mourn, sometimes we grieve, sometimes we have, some anguish that we have to deal with, and those are okay. But then again, you can use meditation in many different forms to work through those, all of those things. If you are in a job that you're not happy in and you're depressed about going to work, pay attention to that. That's really that's not necessarily you're in the wrong place. If you're depressed about going to work, or if you're depressed about going home, or if you're depressed about hanging out with certain people, pay attention to those things. That's a sign. Your spirit is speaking to you.
Yeah,
and
yeah, she brings it up too with family. Family is the worst, okay? We think it's called a false sense of responsibility, right? That we think we have to do certain things. When I tell people flat out, if your family is really making you miserable and has a tendency to have no intentions of changing or anything like that, you have to make a decision on what's best for you. But we have this sense of responsibility that says, hey, I need to interact with my family. Why? You have your own life to live, just like they're living their lives. And I think you should understand, I think they should understand too, that they had a right to live their own lives, and if they didn't, that was their choice. But you still have a choice to do so as well. And that's what they have a tendency to not think about. My mom's like the same way. It's like, you know, why are you living all the way out there? Because I can and I will. And you know something, Mom? You're a pain in the ass. You know, people go, that's cruel. I said, no, it's called a fact. That she has a tendency to do certain things and make people manipulate people because that's what she feels like she should do. And I think that's why I've had such a bad time with Christian in some sense of the word. Because they always have a tendency, I think, that their actions are accountable, and they're okay because of who they are. And me and Heather has talked about this before, that Christians, the people we've seen who do that kind of stuff, don't get it. What needs to be more Christ-like needs to be more loving, and that's mm-hmm. not loving.
Right.
The idea in the Bible says it's really important not to go to church, but communion, you know, to
mm-hmm.
be associate. But it doesn't say, I've never read anything in the Bible where it says you have to go to church. It just shows that, you know, in the process of looking for like-minded people, I guess if you're in a like-minded thing about the whole situation, it's where you would go. But at the same time, there's kind of funny about this stigmatism about churches, too. When I've seen these two boys, right? And one boy was a Jewish boy and one was a Catholic boy. And they were told that if you go to a Catholic church and you're Jewish, you get hit by lightning. Now, why would someone do that? It's called manipulation. Okay, so what they did was, I did this, too. Here in church, here downtown in Colorado Springs, that most of the churches have three services, one at 8:30, 9:30, and 10:30. So you can actually go to three services, or, like I did, I went to three different churches. And it was kind of funny. I never got hit by no lighting. But it was kind of funny when you go into churches, and it's, yeah, I do. I wish we could all commune and get together and talk about this and just share those, you know, those impressions and stuff like that. Because what it's going to show you is they're all basically focusing on the same entity and the same objective, but they all want to sit here and tell you how to get there when all they should be doing is just basically realizing they've made choices, that's their path. Why can't they respect other people's paths?
Right.
Not saying they don't, but then again, the ones I've talked to don't. So
my dad used to say, we used to go to church. Well, my mom was more Catholic and my dad just didn't believe, well, he was spiritually minded, but just didn't believe in that religion. He said, what's the point of going to church? He goes, they're all going to act like they're all a bunch of hypocrites. Tomorrow they're going to be doing the same damn thing all over again.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
no, it's kind of crazy with church
people
like that. Yeah. Hey. I had a friend like that. She was a church. She would do this crazy stuff all freaking week. And she felt as long as she went to church on Sunday, she was good to go, and then she'd be right back again looking for the next guy to nail behind her boyfriend, behind her husband's back. So I was like, that's a fool.
There's so many things that just went through my head. So to be Christ-like, it is so important for us to be Christ-like, we have to be Christ-conscious, okay? So there are so many things, so many levels of being Christ-conscious. It is so awesome and so fun to really look into that and to take that on. And it's a blast. I love it. But to focus on oneself, so for me to focus on myself and not worry about what anybody else is doing, right or wrong, it doesn't matter. I get to love them regardless of where they are on their journey. It doesn't matter. And so to be in gratitude for my own experiences and my own life and my own journey and my own Christ consciousness. There we go. Boy, that's the consciousness. Anyway, so that, to me, that is the greatest honor to God, is me taking on my own stuff and just loving those around me, regardless of what it is that they're doing. As long as they're doing, you know, do you. You do you, I'll do me, okay? Let's have fun. Let's just keep pretending here on this planet and learn.
Can I add just something? I talked to a psychic a while last year, and he said, you have all the answers. One day, he said, it'll come to you. He said, you meditate, you'll find it within you. I don't get that. I really don't.
It is in you, honey.
I meditate. I have taken a break on meditating.
Why don't you try that? I think it's the idea. What people tend to think about meditation is the idea of connecting to the answers, okay? But I think they have to understand one thing, where the answers are. What's the source of those answers? Okay, they have those things called the records.
The Alka. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. But when you look at the situation of when I teach people how to meditate, I sit there and say, okay, I want you to sit there and bow your head and focus on the essence behind your heart, which is supposed to be the connection to God, your essence, who you are, okay? So when you connect into that whole thing, it's the idea of realizing that you've never been separate from source, God, spirit, whichever one you would call it. I call it God. So you've never been separate from those things. Plus, at the same time, meditation also helps you to connect with all the spiritual help that you have, guardian angels, guides, spirit guides, family members, stuff like that. Meditation is to release, to let go, to realize that all the help that you have within yourself is around you. Not the people, not the physical sense. I hate to say that, but I'd rather talk to spirits and God and angel, know things, and get the answers and talk to humans. Because they have a tendency to be prejudiced. They have certain motivations. And the angels and guides and God and those things have one motivation, that's what's best for me, okay? And that's what I'm saying. And I sit here and did this myself. It was a nice little test I did to sit here and say, okay, people talk about one thing. I wish I could stop second-guessing myself. So everybody gets it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the idea of taking it and following through and say, okay, how do you stop second guessing yourself? I said, well, just listen to what you just said. Stop doing that. And they go, okay, how do you do that? Okay, you just listen to what you just said and stop doing that. So when you're sitting there making a decision, right, and the very first thought that comes through is guidance. The next thing comes in. Right, that's the answer. The second thing that comes in is your ego. It's either going to feed off of it or feed into it, or it's going to denounce you and make you. But it usually uses the word where, you know, it will sit there and say things more likely. If you're making a decision, should I buy the car? It's like the first thing it comes across and says, you should buy this car. Maybe you can't afford it as you think of, but if you change your perception, then you can, this is yours. But then the ego comes in and says, remember what happened last time? Remember all this old stuff? Remember what your mom said? That's your ego. And I say, do a visual like this. When the second guy walks in, starts talking to you, slap and tell, just shut up. And put it in the back seat and say, you know something, dude? I don't take directions from people in the back seat, so shut up. And then go right back to the situation of the decision that already came through in the first place and saying, yes, get this. Then keep telling yourself, okay, if I'm supposed to have this, then also give me the guidance on how to make it happen. A lot of us have a tendency, the second-guessing thing kind of pulls us into the situation of saying, you know something? I don't know if I can do this. When you should be saying, hey, how can we make this happen? Then you'll see things happen. It's kind of crazy, but it's like, that's what guidance is. Meditation, realistically, some people like Heather saw it before, some people just meditate just to relax. But so many people are putting so much objective on the whole thing, so much expectations, when it's just simply a procedure of relaxing, opening yourself up, letting down the resistance, and whatever happens after that point, it's an experience.
Honey, I'm curious, and you don't have to go into detail if you don't want to, but I'm curious what your meditations look like. Just a general idea.
You know, I'm going to say, I was meditating, just listening to music, and then one time I went to, Body, Mind, and Spirit Expo. And it was just the oddest thing. I never heard of Reiki, and she did Reiki on me. And then
awesome.
I talked to this, and this other girl, she I guess a clairvoyant, is that what it is, where they can hear?
Uh-huh.
Angels?
No, it's clairaudient.
Okay, clairaudient. Yeah. And she was telling me about, you know, what my best friend was, you know, saying to me, you know, she said, put a comedy movie on, you know, miss me, but, you know, be happy and blah, blah, blah. And then within that week, the strangest thing happened. I mean, I woke up and my heart was like pounding because I was so scared. I never heard this before. I like, it was like a noise, like, it was music. It was just something I've never heard before, and it scared the crap out of me. And then a couple of days later, then I actually heard my friends calling my name, and I got so scared, and I put the blankets over my head. I was just freaked out. And then, the psychic told me, he goes, no, you need to be careful. He said, you know, you're an empath. You attract. You're like a magnet. And I was like, oh, wow. I'm like, because, you know, what I heard that day and from the meditating is because I was taking on their energy. I was unknowingly taking their energy. It was just.
With the person you talk about, did they tell you anything else besides be careful? Or did they tell you how to be careful, how to do things, or what? Just kind of drop that in your lap, or what?
Yeah, he said, you know, he was going to help me, teach me how to protect myself. But he hasn't. I mean, I never called him back because, you know, he's very expensive. And then another time last year.
If a person is going to drop that kind of information on you, he should give you some insights to work with until you do something. I mean, that's kind of, to me, I don't like people to do that kind of stuff. I sit and go, well, you know, you're an empath and you better watch out and blah, and then call me.
Yeah.
No, it's more the idea of looking at you saying, sweetie, what you need to do, and the idea of being an empath is to, you need to understand it was given to you as a strength, not a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of knowing what you're going into, what people are all about, and it's the idea of opening it up and looking at situations, what they are, and people and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's like protecting yourself. Realistically, me personally, when I look at these situations, you can surround yourself with pink light and white light and all this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like most people who find the strength within it,
mm-hmm.
that strength itself protects you from anybody who wants to do you any kind of harm. To realize when you walk into a situation, go, okay, what's this person like? Then you start picking things up, or you pick up spirits. You can also tell spirits flat out. It's like this, my friend. I have dominion over this planet. So since you don't live here, you have to do what I tell you. So therefore, if I don't want to communicate with you, I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind to, but when you get pushing, it's like setting boundaries. And I've seen a lot of people in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of friends who actually are empaths and also pick up on spirits. And those spirits bug the shit out of them. And the reason it is because if you see how they live their lives, they let everybody else walk all over them too. So spirits are going, hey, since other people walk on them, I'm going to do it too. Until you set those boundaries. I've had a thing where what I do, you can do this if you want, is I call in angels to surround me like a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And they only let people in one at a time so they don't overwhelm me. And it's also, if they're also trustworthy, I guess you'd say, that they let them through. If not, they don't. They don't come through.
Okay. Here's another thing, honey. Have you ever smudged?
I've done that. Yeah.
Okay.
My family calls it, oh, stop with the hocus pocus. You're bringing stuff in. This is why you have
really?
All these nightmares. Yeah.
Did Okay, so when we go to Catholic Church and they're swinging that damn thing to the aisles.
You're right.
Oh, really?
It's
that's hocus-pocus bullshit.
Right. So, honey, this is the thing. If you can smudge, if there's an opportunity for you to smudge where you're not interfering with anybody else, you know, in your space, in your life, I highly advise that. Okay, and then call on your angels. They are there always. Okay, but they are there at your request. They want you to call on them, okay? And they will be there, and they will protect you. And you can request their protection. And you want to do that on a regular basis, okay? Because of your gifts and your talents that you are just tuning into, that you are just realizing, you are going to have some of the negative muck come to you. Okay, so you need to keep that out of your space, which is why this is why I'm suggesting that you call on your angels for protection. Okay, because darkness cannot survive in light; it cannot exist in light. So you need to keep that light around you, and your angels will help you with that.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Yeah, there's so much to learn. I mean, there's just so much information. I'm sorry.
There's a lot to learn. You're right.
Oh yeah, but there's so much information. It's like I feel like I'm constantly getting pulled into one thing, you know, or a million things at the same time. It's like I don't know what to keep focus on. And you know, like they said, it's all within you. And it's like, okay, I'm meditating, and where is it at? Clueless.
Just focus on the now. You know, you just focus on what you do in meditations. And so, like I said before, is the idea of meditating and whatever happens at that moment, that's what you take in. If nothing happens in that moment, then realistically, a lot of people have to understand one thing about guidance. If, you know, you get guidance when you need guidance. There are some days you don't get guidance because there's no guidance to give. So that's the day you just realistically just live your life, which tells you pretty much you're on the right track. So just keep going it, because there's a balance between giving and receiving. There's a balance between being and doing. There's a balance between structure and flow. Okay, one without the other, you don't have that flow. Plus, people don't realize if you don't have a balance between giving and receiving, you cut off your prosperity. And same thing with the others as well. Also, the same thing happens when you cut off and you don't balance up the physical and the spiritual, which means your body and your spirit together, because they're one and the same. That's what I was talking about the other day when I talked about someone was sitting there telling me, you got to get rid of the ego. No, you just have to put the ego where it belongs, because that's the human side. And then you have the spiritual side, which is spirit, which is your true spirit. But, you know, they both exist on this plane right now. But I will say this, we talked this before too, how to go beyond the third dimensional is realize the more you tap into your spirit, the more you're going to experience things on a more of a fourth and fifth dimensional plane. So you're going to have people around you that are going to say things. Why? It's because they're still in this third dimensional plane, and all they can see is that third dimensional perception. Okay, so when you start experiencing things, first and foremost, it's the ideal. Says, can you talk about it? Yeah, but find somebody who's on the same wavelength, on the same page, in the same ballpark. You got somebody over here, first thing comes out of their mouth is, you're crazy. You go, I guess I'm not going to get any good advice from you, so let me excuse myself now before we go any further in this whole thing, because realistically, the ideal of saying you're crazy, it's like my thing is, this is what I do to people, okay, to put them back in their place, to sit here and go, hey, you're criticizing and judging me. No, I'm not. You're crazy. I said, okay, then what am I reflecting back at you at this moment about yourself? Good day. And you see, I guess we wouldn't put it in place, but it's the ideal. We all reflect each other. So if that person's seeing you as crazy, he's seeing himself. So therefore, he's calling you, let's put it this way, okay? He's calling you crazy because he doesn't want to listen and he doesn't want to deal with what you're talking about and what you're experiencing at this moment, so is he. But he don't want to talk about it, and you do. Well, until he does, we don't have to talk to him. He needs to learn to communicate. He needs to bring it out. Any way he's ever going to do that, we can't do it for him, because if you don't, you're just going to enable him to keep doing the same thing over and over again. Okay, same thing with relationships with guys and women. When a woman sits there and compensates for a guy and always takes up for him, defends him, and does certain things, well, he's a little shy. When you know for a fact he's just being a butthead. But, you know, what you need to do is just look at the guy and go, okay, dude, you know, communicate, talk to me. Until you do, how can you actually have a conversation? So since you're not talking to me and we're not really talking at all, I guess I'll go home. And some people go, well, that's being rude. No, it's not. If a person's going to sit there and stare at you and refuse, or even the idea I've said this before too, the guy's sitting there going, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want to do. I think it's the woman's job to get a backbone and look him right in the face and say, you know something, buddy, you're full of shit. Because if you didn't know what you wanted, we wouldn't be sitting here talking or trying to anyway. But those are the things that are truth, and we have to speak. But if someone doesn't want to talk to us, how can we talk to them? It's best for you to move on. And the ideal that if you are a person who likes to communicate with people, you have to be around people who communicate. And the ideal, looking at the situation of a person not communicating with you, could also be reflecting back at you that you're not listening to your own guides and angels and what you should do to realize you're not responsible for that man. You're not responsible for no one, no situation. The only person you're responsible for is yourself. And the more responsible you get for yourself and the things you do for yourself also has a tendency to make you a more of a better reflection back at them. Hopefully they will see it and follow through too as well. So see, we really can't do anything for anybody except for the things we do for ourselves. They see it, okay? We're definitely a good reflection for them if they're going to see it. But we don't have to sit there and go, okay, well, he's not seeing it. What can I do? Well, take a look at yourself and ask yourself, is there something more that I can do for myself to go within myself, to change things, to express myself, to communicate more? Am I focusing too much on him and not really doing the work for myself? Those are the things we can do for ourselves. But we really can't do nothing for nobody else. But I guarantee you, the things that you do for yourself, like I read this in a book, it was a Doreen Virtue book. She says, when you heal yourself, so do you heal the world. One person at a time, but that person starts with you. And it all reflects and it all keeps going on. And it's like that shampoo commercial. When you do something, then these two people will do it, and those two people will do it from what those two people did, and so on, and so on, and so on. And you set off a fantastic positive chain reaction because of the positive things you've done for yourself and the positive things that you've done and listened to your angels and guides. Because, the ideal, if people tell me that you want to change the world, then you need to start with yourself.
One thing that I wanted to say was, the whole reason I had asked about how you meditate, honey, is if you meditate right now with where you're at, if you will focus on connecting to God or Source or the universe or however that looks for you, okay, and connecting to Mother Earth, if you will just take your meditation and focus on those two things, and do that, visualize light going from Source through you down to Mother Earth and back up again. If you can visualize that and just focus on that during your meditation, that will assist you so greatly. If you can do that, begin to do that, and then expand on that. Just keep going, get better and better at it, and you're going to begin to start hearing your angels talking to you and giving you messages. You're going to start getting downloads, okay? And that's where you're going to start learning and reconnecting and remembering everything that's already in you that everybody's telling you about. That's how you're going to get in touch with that, okay? Just do it slow. Don't expect everything to fall into place immediately. We're learning. It's okay. So that right there is huge.
I understand, Heather.
Thank you, Donnie. I hope that's
perfect. Really insightful. No, the reason I was going to read, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but the lady you were talking to, she kind of got dropped about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, I thought I heard her. Well, that's okay because she can go back. She can go back to the archives and listen.
Okay, let me ask you a question while we've been here talking. Yeah. Unless you want to talk to me, unless you want to call me after we're done with the show, I'd like to ask you something.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to get your insight on this email I got back from this person. So therefore, I want to see what your insights was, if that was okay with you.
I was so enjoying the conversation. I was so enjoying that conversation, and I wanted to tell her so much how much I enjoyed visiting with her. And I'm so excited for her journey. and her learning. I'm sorry, I didn't get to get all that out. And I'm just hoping that she well, I'm hoping that she gets back into the archives and listens. Yeah, because I'm way excited for her. And I hope that she's able to call back in. But it is just about 10:30, so perhaps do you want to wrap it up and we'll continue this conversation on a private call?
No problem. I was going to tell you, too, that, I hope everybody does go and check out the archives. And it's like, let's get this thing settled up and do it. And just tell everybody thank you for everybody calling in. Thank you for everybody who was listening. Thank you for all the support. And like we always say, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love what love is given. And plus, join us again tomorrow night, which is Friday night, 8 p.m. And Saturday at 8 p.m., that's Mountain Time. And we'll be here for another two-hour session. So if you want to get back in there and ask some questions, like we always say all the time, you can ask any questions or anything or any insights. And if you don't like psychics, just talk about it. So until then, we'll all talk to you there. I can't say it. We'll all talk to you later. So it was really nice. It's always great to do shows and stuff. So join us again. So we will talk to you later and have a good one. And I guess we'll just say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll talk to you in a minute.